Livewire Operation Epic Fury Day 13. U.S.-owned oil tanker among those hit by Iranian drone boats. By Oliver J.J. Lane on March 12, 2026. The military operation against Iran entered its 13th day on Thursday. Iran and its proxies in Lebanon continue to launch strikes, including against oil tankers in the Gulf, while Israel says they scored extensive hits on IRGC infrastructure overnight. Thursday's live updates below. All updates in Eastern Time. 18:35 p.m., remember the numbers stations? Fascinating read from our John Hayward in the Breitbart Fight Club on the emergence of a Farsi language numbers station since the start of the present conflict. Best known as a relic of the Cold War, numbers stations are plain text audio broadcasts that are generally thought of as coded messages for spies. Many vanished with the collapse of the Berlin Wall. Who is behind this new numbers station? Is it the Iranians sending messages to sleeper cells? Or the CIA activating their agents in Iran? Read the full report here on Fight Club. 18:25 p.m., air refueling tanker lost over Iraq. U.S. CENTCOM has confirmed the loss of a KC-135 stratotanker over Iraq after an incident with a second aircraft. We've no information on casualties, and CENTCOM say they're presently engaged in a rescue effort. They emphasize this was not a loss down to enemy action or friendly fire. I think it's fair to say that reading between the lines, a collision is implied. Early on in Operation Epic Fury, a point made about Britain's refusal to allow the U.S. to use the conveniently located air bases on British soil around the world for the strikes is that it increased flight time. Some airstrikes on Iran were being launched from the mainland United States with 30-plus hours in the air. This is punishing stuff for the pilots and the airframes, and necessitates several rounds of an air refueling to get aircraft over their targets and home again. This all introduces extra layers of risk, opportunities for mistakes. In air refueling is a dangerous job and comparatively few nations now retain this ability indigenously. 14:20 p.m., loading. One of the big controversies of President Trump's strikes on Iran was the total refusal of the British government to support its ally in any way, even blocking the U.S. from launching strikes from U.S. airbases on British soil. That has gone by the wayside now, although Starmer isn't shouting from the rooftops about it. But the work is going on close to the perimeter wire at RAF Fairford, and British press photographers have snapped some interesting shots of USAF personnel maintaining and loading B-1 Lancers with JDAMs, converted Vietnam-era dump bombs. Adding a tail and a rudimentary guidance suite makes for a very cost-effective munition. And as we've seen already, the USAF is operating in practically uncontested airspace, making laser guiding these perfectly effective. In more challenging airspace, there is even a new and improved JDAM now being fielded, the E.R. or extended range, which adds a pair of deployable wings to the bomb, turning it into a glider. This is useful if you can't get right over your target and want something you can stand off with and lob at your enemy before turning tail and heading home. We've seen a lot of these in Ukraine where neither side has managed to achieve air superiority, but they would be overkill for Iran, most likely. 14:05 p.m., Iran doesn't want war imposed upon it. Agence France-Presse has spoken to Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister Majid Takht-Ravanki, who portrayed his country as an innocent, put-upon victim of America and said, "We do not want to be treated like this again in the future," complaining the U.S. struck Israel last year and then did it again 8 months later. He is reported to have told the wire's service, "We want to see that war is not going to be imposed again on Iran." Le Figaro states he said, further, before the war began, "On several occasions we informed our neighbors that if America participated in aggression against Iran, all American interests and bases would be legitimate targets for Iran. We are acting in self-defense. We will continue to act in self-defense for as long as necessary." 13:15 p.m., CENTCOM update. We've got the new readout from CENTCOM on the status of strikes. U.S. forces have now hit approximately 6,000 targets in 13 days, they say, including over 90 Iranian vessels damaged or destroyed. Naval warfare has been a prominent element of the conflict so far, and CENTCOM notes this is made up of over 60 ships and over 30 mine layers. It is notable the number of ships sunk hasn't changed from around 60 in days, reflecting the United States having hit or sunk practically every large craft Iran has already. But the sting is in the tail. We reported on the Mosquito fleet of 1,000 or more small Iranian bomb boats which are easily dispersed and hidden, and hard to detect. There's much mopping up to be done yet, lest we see more oil tankers struck in the Gulf. 13:10 p.m., Iran lands a cyber attack on America. Iran, long a malign influence in cyber, has landed what appears to be its first major cyber attack since the U.S.-Israel strikes began almost 2 weeks ago. Iranian hackers are thought to have hit medical device manufacturer the Stryker Corporation, deleting their data and disabling their phones. Our tech reporter Lucas Nolan has a full report on this development. 13:05 p.m., senior Iranian commander eliminated. The IDF says it has eliminated Ali Muslim Tabaja, an Iranian paramilitary commander who also fought with Hezbollah, they said. He, his deputy commander, and other officers were killed in an airstrike in Lebanon overnight. The Times of Israel cites an IDF spokesman who aided. Last night, while they were managing the fire toward Israel, they were eliminated within seconds. Other named leaders claimed killed by the IDF were Hezbollah commander Abu Ali Rian, a central figure responsible for coordinating operations, recruiting operatives, and managing its weapons supply chain, and IRGC Hezbollah liaison officer Abu Dar Mohammadi in Beirut. 11:55 a.m., cardboard Khamenei. Where is the supreme leader? Iran minted a new supreme leader after they lost the last one, but he hasn't been seen or heard from yet, which some people are taking as slightly suspicious. After we heard claims that he'd been in an incident and was injured, speculation rose again, and to some he has come to be known as the cardboard Khamenei. Now Iran's state media offers proof of life for Mojtaba Khamenei. No photographs, video, or audio though. Just a written statement, and a belligerent one at that. He, or his ghostwriter, declared that Tehran will avenge the blood of Iranians. It was claimed he said, "The revenge we seek is not only for the martyrdom of the great leader of the revolution. Every member of the nation who is martyred by the enemy becomes an independent case for revenge. Certainly the lever of blocking the Strait of Hormuz must continue to be used." Our John Hayward has written about it here. 11:15 a.m., two injured in blaze aboard the USS Gerald R. Ford. The Fifth Fleet has gone to the lengths of telling us that there was a fire in the ship's laundry of the nuclear supercarrier USS Gerald R. Ford. Two injured, although not critically, and they are in stable condition. The notification comes amid claims and counterclaims between Iran and the U.S., with Tehran constantly claiming to have hit American carriers with missiles, and even to have sunk them. It's a mystery why such claims are repeatedly made when demonstrably false. But aircraft carriers are incredibly potent symbols of Western power, and the thought of sinking one must be worth juice in the squeeze to some nations. That Argentina was able to secretly sink a British aircraft carrier in the Falklands War of 1982, and the world didn't notice because London was able to sneakily build a replacement and rush it into service, is a myth that persists among some to this day. Read more on this story here. 9:30 a.m., more FLIR footage. CENTCOM hasn't been shy with its compilations of strike footage, which continue to illustrate the degree to which the United States is operating in uncontested airspace. The videos are showing strikes of remarkable accuracy, called in by the familiar flicker of laser designators. A good example of this is footage we got from CENTCOM overnight showing the laser designator painting a patch right at the wing stems of the Russian-made Il-76 transport jet. The munition tumbles down onto the beam and detonates, neatly cutting the wings off with comparatively little blast damage, other than the fuel cooking off. In any case, the job is done. We get more video this morning too, returning again to the familiar footage of Iran's apparently very considerable number of mobile missile and rocket launchers. Taking out the launchers is a key mission for the U.S., and they seem to be hunting them down as and where they find them. As noted the other day, there's a certain amount of hide-and-seek going on. A lot of these strikes seem to be on launchers peeking out from beneath bridges, the mouths of tunnels, and tree line cover. 8:55 a.m., arrests made after American embassy bombing. The U.S. embassy in Oslo, Norway, was rocked by an explosion in the early hours of Sunday morning. Now, Norwegian police have made their first arrests, taking in three Iraqi origin brothers on suspicion of terror offenses. The improvised explosive device was very powerful, police have now said, stating the lack of apparent damage is down to the heavily fortified design of the American building. Read the full story here. 6:50 a.m., Iran is launching sea drones against oil tankers. At least three oil tanker ships have been struck by Iran in the Gulf overnight. One off the coast of the UAE and two off Basra, Iraq. We have some images of one of the strikes in Iraq and they are very dramatic, with a huge fireball filling the air. The BBC states one of the ships struck off the Iraqi coast. The Safe Sea of Vishnu is U.S.-owned but is Marshall Islands flagged. The practice of flagging is to allow ship owners to operate their craft under lower regulatory burdens and while paying fewer costs. It has now been long accepted, but a persistent conversation in maritime security circles is how long the net providers of maritime security like the United States and United Kingdom will be content to provide expensive defensive cover to ship owners who fly the cheapest flag of convenience. It isn't like the Marshall Islands can protect shipping on the high seas, it doesn't even have a military. The second tanker struck off Iraq is Greek-owned and Maltese-flagged, states the BBC. The third, hit off the UAE, was Chinese-owned and Liberia-flagged. Curiously, the broadcaster notes the ship was transmitting China owner at the time it was attacked. The owners having reckoned advertising they weren't party to the conflict would have protected them from strikes. Wrongly, as it transpires. It is stated the Safe Sea of Vishnu was struck by a white-collared unmanned speedboat carrying explosives, a sea drone, or uncrewed surface vessel, USV. We've known about Iran's so-called Mosquito fleet of several hundred small attack boats for years. From Chinese-made anti-ship missile launchers strapped to commercial speedboats to explosive-laden boats for USS Cole-style attacks. They have featured comparatively little over the past 2 weeks, so far. Perhaps the most impactful use of such vessels so far has been by the Ukrainian intelligence service, who claim to have sunk several Russian warships using drone swarms. Again, this has taken the form of explosive-packed speedboats with fast data connections for guidance. 6:30 a.m., missiles and drones continue to hit Israel. There was a major rocket and drone barrage launched from Lebanon against Israel overnight, reports the Times of Israel, noting controversy today over an alleged failure by the Defense Forces, IDF, to keep the public sufficiently informed. The IDF said they attempted to mitigate the attack by striking the missile launchers in Lebanon, and by shooting down rockets and drones as they flew to Israel. There were 200 rocket launches in all, and the IDF said most were intercepted or landed harmlessly. Meanwhile, the IDF said they'd launched extensive airstrikes against Iran this morning targeting terrorist infrastructure, weapons storage facilities, central headquarters and a nuclear weapons compound. They said, the Talegan compound is a site used by the Iranian regime to advance nuclear weapons capabilities. The compound was used to develop advanced explosives and conduct sensitive experiments as part of the covert Ahmad project in the 2000s. 6:15 a.m., Iran strikes the Italians. An Italian military base in Iraq was hit by a missile in the early hours of the morning. No injuries, but it may illustrate how Iran is continuing to lash out everywhere with what remaining missile launch facilities it has, assuming the missile was Iranian at all. The Italian government has condemned the attack, but said they wanted to conduct a very thorough investigation before saying definitively who they think was behind it. They also said the Italian base is packaged together with bases belonging to other nations, so they also questioned whether they were even the intended target. Quite a web to untangle. Read more here.